Right. I guess that was my introduction music there, huh? All right. Very good. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Sometimes you just think need something on Wednesday night just to get you going, you know? And you come into church and look at that. We have orchestrated theme music to the preacher to come up to the pulpit tonight. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 this evening. And it is a joy to be able to preach the Word of God. And it is a blessing. I trust that we never take for granted the opportunities to come out apart from the world, and spend a time just studying God's Word. And that's what we seek to do, to lift up the Lord tonight and study the message in His Word. And so if you'll stand tonight, we'll be reading out of this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I trust that you have all had a good week and up until this point, and I just encourage you to plug in tonight to the preaching of God's Word and determine, like Pastor says, getting here is half the battle. The other half of the battle is plugging in and getting what the Lord would have for you. And praise the Lord, you're here. And so we've done half of that. Now let's get plugged in and get the message that the Lord has for us tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll preach a message from this text this evening. The Bible says here in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And I want to preach out of this passage tonight. I want to preach a very simple message entitled, "Pass It On." Pass it on. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we're so thankful for Your Word, Lord, and for the truths found in Your Word. We're thankful that we don't have to come apart tonight to listen to a man speak, but, Lord, we can come and hear Your Word preached. And I pray that that would be done here this evening, Lord. I pray that these truths would be driven deep within our hearts and that You would be with me as I preach Your Word tonight. Lord, we pray for our pastor once again who is preaching in Lebanon. I pray that You'd give him liberty there and use him. I pray that You'd use me here in this place, Lord, give me liberty to preach Your Word. We love You. We thank You for these things. In Your name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. As a child in grade school, I remember we used to play a game. And some of the kids here and some of you adults probably would still remember this game. The game was called Telephone, or some people called it Pass It On. And you remember that game where the teacher and I, in our school there, had about 20 or 25 students in my class. And our teacher would say, "We're going to try something today. I'm going to whisper into one student's ear a phrase or a sentence, and I want them to try to remember every bit of what I've just told them, and then I want them to whisper that into the classmate's ear," and they would go throughout the class, some 20, 25 students, and it was always very humorous when you got to the very last student. They would stand up, and they would utter something that was completely different than what the teacher had said in the first place. And all of us are probably familiar with that game or have had opportunity. But because perhaps it was a lack of concentration, or maybe it was the lack of seriousness on the part of the students, you know, almost in every class there's that one student that just wants to be cantankerous, and they're going to just change things just because they want to think it's funny. And whether it was a lack of concentration or whether it was a lack of seriousness on the part of the students, many times the teacher's message would never make it completely through that group of 20 or so kids. And of course, as little kids, we would delight and laughter in the fact that whatever the last person said was nothing like what the teacher had given. We just thought that was great and very funny. And, you know, it was passed from person to person. It wasn't passed correctly. I want you to think about this tonight. Listen, in much the same way, God has given us His gospel message. I'm so thankful that God has come to this earth and sent His Son to this earth to die on the cross. And praise the Lord, in a crowd this size on a Wednesday night, dedicated Christians, no doubt most of you, if not all of you, have accepted and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And we thank the Lord so much for that. But listen, now that we've received His Word, now that we've received salvation, guess what? It's our duty to pass it on to others. It's our responsibility to pass it on to others. But many times in the Christian life, possibly because of lack of focus or lack of concentration, we don't do our job. We don't pass along the gospel that was so freely given to us. Just like the students in the classroom, listen, the message isn't delivered or it's not delivered properly. Paul here writes this book to Timothy, and if you would study the Word of God, you would understand that this is Paul's final book, the last letter that he would write. In fact, if you would say it this way, possibly these were the dying words of the final apostle. I want you to stop and think here tonight of what God accomplished through Paul's life. As we read possibly the last few words that Paul would write to us as Christians and the last words that Paul would write to Timothy, think of what God allowed Paul to accomplish in his life. I think about the missionary journeys. Think about the people that he reached with the gospel. I think about the souls saved, the lives that Paul personally invested in. And boy, I think about those things, and I think that Paul, if he would stand before you tonight, he would tell you, it's not me, it's the grace of God at work in my life. Just like we see there in verse 1 as he speaks to Timothy, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." As Paul would look back at his life and he would see accomplishments and this done and that done, he would attribute it to one thing and one thing alone. In fact, I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul would testify as to how he was able to accomplish so much for the cause of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 9, Paul says this. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Paul had to look back at his life and say, listen, although God has allowed me to be an apostle, I am by far the least qualified to be an apostle because I've persecuted God's church. I've killed Christians that were trying to live for the cause of Christ. He says there, as we read in verse 10, he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." And as Paul speaks to Timothy here in this passage, he says, "Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You see, what was Paul trying to help Timothy understand? Paul was helping Timothy to understand, listen, if you're going to be able to pass on what's been given so freely to you, first of all, you have to be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus. And I think that's so true in our lives. And I think Paul would look back to his life and listen, as he looks at the things that he accomplished for Christ, he doesn't look at a man that accomplished them. He looks at the grace of God at work in a man's life, and God doing a great work through that. As I studied this passage today and God began to illuminate that, it began to do a work in my own heart and my own life. And I thank the Lord for preaching sermons to me before I get to preach them to others. And I'm amazed when I think that the Lord allows me to serve Him. Stop and think about that for a few minutes. Think about all that Paul accomplished for the cause of Christ and yet his past and what it was. And then think about the fact that God allows us to serve Him. God allows us to labor for Him, and God allows us to worship Him freely and bring other people to Him. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? I think about this fact that God would allow me to stand before a congregation and preach the Word of God. I'm overwhelmed by His goodness when I think about that. And listen, the only thing I can think about is the grace of God at work in my life. And for every person that would get up and teach a Sunday school class, or for every bus captain that would lead a bus route on Sundays, or for every person that would knock on a door or witness to a coworker and God would use them, there's only one reason God would use us. It's the grace of God at work in our lives. And first of all, we must praise God for allowing us that opportunity. But then remember, it's by His grace. And Paul here in this passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's urging Timothy to pass on what he's learned. But can I say to you tonight, the only way Timothy could pass on what he had learned, the only way Timothy could be strong, the only way that Timothy could live the Christian life that God would have him to live was through the grace of God. We see that there in verse 1. "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Listen, on his own, Paul would have accomplished nothing. In his own strength and in his own power, Paul could not have accomplished what he accomplished with the grace and the strength of Christ. Timothy was a great man of God, and yet on his own he could accomplish nothing. And may I say to us tonight that we can do all that we can, and we can serve and labor, but if we don't have the grace of God at work in our lives, we will accomplish nothing for Him. So thankful for the abundant grace of God that allows me to live my life. And listen, when we acknowledge the grace of God, and we acknowledge God, first of all, the grace of God at play in salvation. Because the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And first of all, we have to understand, listen, before I can even serve God, I don't even deserve to be saved. And yet God saved me. His grace began to work in my life. We can acknowledge His grace in salvation, and then we can acknowledge His grace in allowing us to live this life as a Christian. And when we acknowledge that grace, the Lord will allow us to accomplish much through Him. What a blessing to think about. You see, to be as strong as a Christian, we see here as Paul tells Timothy in verse 1, "Now therefore, my son, be strong." To be strong as a Christian, we have to be strong in the grace that Christ so freely gives us. I believe we have to be strong in our relationship with Christ in this Christian life. You know, we meet series of peaks and valleys, don't we, through as we go through this life? And yet there's one person that never changes. And if we're strong in that relationship with Jesus Christ, no matter what we endure in this life, we can look to Christ. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. I love this passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, just kind of laying the groundwork for this passage tonight. Listen, if we're going to be able to pass along what God would have us to pass on to others, the grace and the faith that has been so freely given to us, we're going to have to be strong in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," that's Jesus, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." I want you to understand something tonight. Listen, when you know who Jesus is and what He has accomplished for you, and you realize where Jesus is today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, the Bible says, when we understand and realize what He's done for us, and we realize who He is, we can hold fast to the profession of our faith. And there are days when I may not feel like I'm saved, or there may be days that I'm going through valleys, and yet I understand Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can hold fast to that profession of that faith. And what a great blessing that is. As he goes on to say in verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So made him God. He endured the things that we endure, the Bible says, yet without sin. And then he says in verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We must understand, Christian, that if we're going to be strong as a Christian, if we're going to be strong in passing on to others what God has given to us, we're going to have to be strong in the grace. The Bible tells us we can come boldly before the throne of grace, so we may be able to find help in our time of need. We're a needy people, aren't we? As we think about what our past and possibly the things that we've done in this life and maybe what God longs for us to accomplish, we're a needy people and truthfully cannot do it on our own. And yet, when we understand who He is, it begins to help us to acknowledge our own humanity and realize I need His help. I need that power from the throne of grace. I need that boldness to approach that throne so that I can have the grace that I need in the time of trouble, the time of trial in my life. Listen, before I preach, I need to acknowledge, first of all, that I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I need the grace of God abundantly in my life to accomplish anything for Him. Listen, before we teach a Sunday school class or we teach a junior church class or before we minister to someone or before we go out and witness for the cause of Christ or before we do any of these things in serving the Lord, we need to stop. We need to acknowledge our humanity. We need to acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner on my own. I cannot do this. But by the grace of God, praise the Lord, as Paul says, I am what I am. See, we acknowledge His grace. Timothy, pass along these things that I've taught you. Timothy, pass along the gospel that's been given to you. But if you're going to be able to do that, you need to be strong in the grace as in Christ Jesus first. Possibly Paul, just by own experience, knew some of the trials that Timothy would face. Knew some of the hardships and realized if Timothy was going to do anything for the cause of Christ, he needed to be strong in the grace that was found in Christ, first of all. And I love this because when we acknowledge our humanity, Then we can acknowledge His deity. We can fall before that throne of grace. When we acknowledge, Lord, this is what You've called me to do, but Lord, on my own, I cannot do this. I don't have the ability to serve You. I don't have the ability to labor for You. Lord, but I'm falling at Your throne of grace. I'm acknowledging my humanity, and now I'm acknowledging Your deity. And that grace begins to flow from God freely into our lives. Allows me to preach His Word. Allows me to witness. Allows me to serve Him. It allows me to teach a Sunday school class and to serve my Lord and Savior. And I believe that Paul found this grace. I believe that Paul is testifying of this grace. And I imagine, listen, just kind of the way my mind works, I imagine every time Paul ministered, that first he stopped and he acknowledged, I'm a filthy, rotten sinner. Lord, I know You've called me to preach Your Word. Lord, I know You've called me to be a missionary and to go on these missionary journeys. But Lord, first of all, I'm acknowledging that I'm a sinner. I'm the least of those that should be apostles. I used to kill Christians. Paul acknowledged I'm the chief of sinners, but he also acknowledged, Lord, if You'll work through me, I'm willing to accomplish much for You. And I think the same thing ought to be said for each and every one of us as God calls us to do His work and God calls us to pass along the things that have been so freely given to us. That if we're going to accomplish anything for Him, first of all, we have to be strong in that grace. To acknowledge that grace and acknowledge our own humanity and acknowledge His deity and fall before the throne of God where that grace flows so freely. What a blessing for us to understand this truth found in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, Paul found that grace and now he's reminding Timothy, hey Timothy, I have the grace of God and you can have that grace of God at work in your life as well. It's available at His throne. Listen, we have permission to come boldly before the throne of grace. I love this thought. We can be in a place we don't belong because we know Jesus Christ. We can access the throne of God. I want you to just stop and think about that tonight. Listen, put aside the cares of this week and everything else that goes on and understand how good our God is that allows us to access His throne any time of day, day or night. No matter what else is going on. And just let that soak into our hearts and minds for a few minutes this evening. That is the goodness of our God. He longs for us to take advantage of that on a daily basis. What a blessing. If Timothy was going to pass it on. If Timothy was going to take what had been instilled in him and pass it along and be strong and for the next generation. In the words of Paul, he was going to have to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And for the Christian tonight, we have the command to pass on the gospel, do we not? It's been given to us. And there's many ways in which this can be accomplished. I'm so thankful for this Lighthouse Baptist Church and the ministries that we have to accomplish God's Word. But can I say we can just put ministries out there and we can get people to fill those ministries, but unless they have the grace of God in their life, unless they've been before the throne of God, asking that abundant grace to begin to flow upon them, and unless they acknowledge their own humanity and God's deity, nothing will be accomplished for the cause of Christ. We must access and acknowledge His grace in our lives. And so in these final words from Paul to Timothy, I believe the passage, at least of these couple of verses here, is the theme of this passage is to take what's been given to me and pass it on to others. I want you to think about this. Many historians believe that Paul is months, if not weeks, away from drawing his final breath as he's penning this passage. Sitting in a Roman prison for the second time, writing to Timothy, and at the end of the book of 2 Timothy, he urges Timothy to come and visit him and bring some things with him, and yet we're not sure if Timothy was ever able to make that trip and see Paul alive. There's no recording in the Bible of that. And so quite possibly by the time that Timothy receives this letter, he has no idea Paul could already be in glory, could have already been martyred for his faith. And I wonder if Paul or if Timothy, seeing that and knowing what was going on in the life of Paul, if that made this message or this testimony, this letter, all the more important to him. Understanding all that Paul had accomplished in his life. Understanding these possibly and would be the final words that we would hear from Paul, the final correspondence, no doubt making these words all the more important. I want to ask you this question tonight. Why is it important that Timothy would pass on what was given to him? Why was it important that Timothy take what Paul had given to him and the gospel? Why was that important? And may I ask us this question? Why is it important tonight that we pass on what's been given to us? I believe in verse 2 we see three things, and I want to go over them very quickly with you tonight. I think it's important that we pass the gospel on to others because someone invested in me. Because someone invested in me. Listen, we have no doubt Paul had invested much time in Timothy, did he not? Paul had invested much time in Timothy. He says, "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." You see, I believe Paul spent time with Timothy in a one-on-one type of mentorship, and he spent much time laboring with him to see him come along. And yet, not only in just one-on-one settings, but Timothy would sit under the preaching of Paul many times amongst many other witnesses as they would sit around him. And you know what, Timothy? No doubt, every time Paul stood up to preach, Timothy had this thought. The words that are coming out of Timothy or Paul's mouth match up with the life that he's lived. As Paul had invested in Timothy, he had passed along to him a very real faith. And I want you to understand tonight, if you're saved tonight, you're here because someone invested in you. You're here because someone took the time to, whether it was a preacher, to prepare a message, a salvation message, or maybe it was someone that came to your door and knocked on your door and said, "Do you know for sure you'd spend eternity with God in heaven if you were to die today?" It was a family member that came alongside and said, "God's burdened me for your soul." But regardless of whoever you are and what your testimony is, if you're here tonight and you're saved, it's because someone invested in you. I love the thought about this. What pastor says, every member will have a part in raising children of this church. What a truth that is. I grew up in Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio. Spent 27 years there of my life, and many people invested much in my life. And I'm so thankful for the teachers and junior church workers that would take the time to prepare lessons. Think about those that made investments in my life. As I was being raised, as I was growing up, there were three people in particular, or three different groups of people that made major investments in my life. The first was my mom and dad. They made some major investments in my life and teaching me the truth. I'm not speaking just of financial investments. I'm speaking this evening of spiritual investments. Spent time training me and bringing me up. And I'm so thankful, listen, that they passed along a real gospel to me. I think of my grandma and grandpa Folger. Made some incredible spiritual investments in my life. And not a too long of time goes on that I don't think about my grandpa. And the influence that he had in my life and the investments that he made in my life. And then I think of my pastor that I grew up under, Roy Thompson, who made some major investments in my life. And as I think about those three groups of people, listen, those people invested truth in me. They invested time in me. And I understand and know that they prayed regularly for me. And now as I look back on my life, I'm so thankful for that investment that they made in me. And because of the investments that they spent time in me and countless other people, listen, I'm hoping that I now can in turn invest in someone else. Because we're here tonight, because we've been saved, someone has spent some time with us. Someone has invested in time in us. And listen, it's our turn to turn around and invest in someone else. We as Christians ought to be doing that. Listen, I'm thankful for their investment. I want to pass on what I've learned from them because of their investment, but can I say that's not my greatest motivation for passing it on? I'm thankful for the people that invested in me, but my greatest motivation for investing in others is because of what Christ has invested in me. Because of our Lord and Savior who invested everything in us, who came to this earth and died on a cross for our souls, but not for our souls only. The Bible says He loves the whole world. He's not willing that any should perish. And listen, because of what Christ has invested in me, it's my turn to turn around and invest in other people. I got a feeling, listen, as Paul invested in Timothy, I think the theme of Paul's message to Timothy was not look at me, look how great I am. No, it was look at Christ. What did Christ do in your life? Look at what Christ has done in my life. lift up Christ. And listen, as I seek to invest in other people, listen, I trust that my goal is to lift up the cause of Christ, not lift up Andy Folger and say, you're such a good person, but to lift up Christ. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And if someone is invested in me, and the great motivation of Christ investing in me, it's my turn now to invest in other people. Paul preached a real gospel. It was genuine in him. Listen, those who invested in me, they lived a real gospel, a genuine gospel, and pointed me to Him. And I trust that I would point those I'm investing in, not to me, but to Him. Why is it important that we pass it on? Because someone has invested in us. Secondly, why is it important that we pass it on? Because I have a responsibility to pass it on. Look at the middle of verse 2. He says, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, I have this word, the same. I have the word same underlined in my Bible. The same commit thou to faithful men. I want you to think about that tonight. In that game that I referred to as I was growing up in grade school, the idea of telephone or pass it on, generally what the teacher told the first student was not what was passed along to all the students. And can I say tonight, we cannot afford to be as careless with the message that has been given to us. Listen, Paul says to Timothy, I've been careful to present you truth. I've been careful to present you the God that's found in the Bible. And now it's your responsibility to take the same God that has been given to you and pass that along to others. You should think about the truths that are found in that passage. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll present a God of our own making to other people. If we're not careful, if we're not strong in that relationship with Christ, listen, we won't live like Christ would have us to live. We'll understand what God's Word says, but we'll say, well, I understand what God's Word is saying in this passage, but, you know, that's really not applicable to me. That's for someone else. I see what the Bible says there, and I see what God would have me to do, but listen, that's just not for me. And before long, what are we doing? We're crafting a God of our own making. And that begins to be what we pass along to other people. And Paul would tell Timothy, listen, Timothy, be careful not to craft a God of your own making. Be careful not to take your own teachings and your own thoughts. But no, point them back to the God of the Bible. Point them back to the Christ of the Bible, the one that I've been careful to commit to you. Now that same God, turn around and commit to other people. May we understand the responsibility that's been given to us to take that investment that was put in our lives and to pass along that same investment to other people. You know, as a dad, what a convicting thought that I have to live with. Could it be that my kids' lack of a consistent walk with God is because I haven't shown them what a consistent walk with God looks like? I want just to stop and think about that tonight and kind of make some application on this point right here. Could it be the inability to see my coworker saved? The inability to reach my neighbors for the cause of Christ or friends or family members is because I'm not portraying to them the true God, the God of the Bible. No, I'm portraying to them to a God of my own making, in which I'm saying, yeah, I'll take this part of Scripture. I'll begin to portray that, but I'm not going to live that part. Listen, we have to be so careful that the investment that has been made in us that we're willing to pass on that same investment to other people. You say, Brother Andy, how do we pass on the same God? How do we pass on the same gospel? And I simply say to you tonight, show them the God of the Bible. Those children that I'm raising in my home, may I show them the God of the Bible. Not the God that Andy has figured out and made up and crafted in his own mind. No, I want to point them back to the Christ of the Bible. I want to take my coworkers and I want to point them back to the Christ of the Bible. In my Sunday school class that God has allowed me to labor in, I want to portray to my Sunday school class the God of the Bible. And I want to be very careful to commit to them this very same God that was committed to me. And not the God of my own making. Paul says, Timothy, very, very careful. Be very careful to commit to them the same God and not to make up your own rules. Well, one of the problems with many churches today is we've got pastors and teachers that have said, yes, this part of the Bible is applicable to our generation, but this part of the Bible God's done away with. We don't have to worry about this part. And listen, I know it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I want you to understand this is what we want you to think about. Much of the problem with many religions today is that they've tailor-made their own God. And they've portrayed their own God. And Paul says to Timothy, listen, pass on that investment of the same God that was committed to you. I'm thankful for a pastor as I was growing up that portrayed the God of the Bible in his life and, might I add, in his death. And on his dying bed was still proclaiming the true God. I'm thankful for a grandfather that instilled and invested in my life the true God. And in his dying breath was still proclaiming the God of Christ, the God of the Bible. So thankful for a dad who was my pastor for many years who lifted up and proclaimed the God of the Bible. And I'm so thankful for the last 5 years that I've had the privilege of working here in this church and serving under the pastor of a pastor who has lifted up and portrayed the God of the Bible. And it's been invested in me. And it's been invested mightily in me. And now it's my opportunity to take that same God and invest it in other people. Why should we pass it on? First of all, because of what's been invested in us. Secondly, because we have a responsibility. And finally, I want you to see very quickly tonight, we need to pass it on because God promises to perpetuate His Word. Look at the end of verse 2. I want you to see exactly what I'm talking about here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit now to faithful men." Look what he says here, "who shall be able to teach others also." God's promise to perpetuate His Word, and what a great truth that is. Here's an awesome thought I want you to think about tonight. Listen, God's plan for perpetuating His Word and for perpetuating His gospel is not some miraculous plan or some mysterious working. It's through individuals just passing along what they've been taught. He longs to work to each and every one of us. And Paul stands before Timothy and writes this letter to him and says, "Remember what I've invested in you. Now it's your turn to invest in other people, faithful men. And when you invest in those men, guess what? They turn around and invest in other people, able to teach others also." What a great thing that if I stand up in front of my Sunday school class or if I stand at a door and I knock on a door and I begin to witness for the cause of Christ and I pass along the God that has been given to me, I'm very careful to pass along that same God. What a blessing that I can invest in someone else who can invest in someone else who can invest in someone else. And God's Word is perpetuated over and over and over again. God promises us in His Scriptures, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. I want to just read this passage. You don't have to turn there. Just listen as I read this. As God tells us in the Old Testament that He would perpetuate His Word. He says in verse 8 of Isaiah chapter 40, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever." He says, look around. Everything you see here is temporal. Everything that you see here will eventually pass away. But my Word, my Gospel, it'll go forward. In the New Testament, He tells us in Luke chapter 21, what a blessing for us to understand. And just listen as I read this verse, as He gives us an Old Testament example and then gives us a New Testament example. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 33, He says this, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away." What a great truth that God has promised to perpetuate His gospel. We need to pass it on because God has promised to perpetuate His gospel. And the truth is that God doesn't need me to be involved, but He allows me to be involved. Think about that. God allows me to be involved in His service. Listen, He's already promised He'll use other people if I don't get involved, but He allows me to be involved. And I want to jump in because I can now be a part of something that's not temporal, but something that's eternal. Every bit of our lives is temporal, is it not? Everything that we do. Listen, we are getting ready to start a football season here. Tomorrow night, college football starts. Next week, NFL football. I enjoy the game of football. And as I think about it, listen, it seems so many times that as quickly as the season starts, it ends. And if you're a Browns fan, it ends usually quicker than most other teams. We haven't had much postseason play in a long time. But you know what? Football is just a temporary game. I thought about this. I enjoy eating. I think most of us do. I enjoy having a good meal. And you may say, listen, that was the best meal of my life. And that best meal of your life will sustain you for about, what, 5 hours, 4 hours, if that? Just temporal. Just temporal. And yet God allows us, listen, to be involved in something that's not temporal, but eternal. He gives us that opportunity. Listen, we get caught up in everything temporal. We discuss at length new TV shows. We get involved in debates on politics. By the way, politics change all the time, do they not? And we get involved in those debates and we'll talk sports and we'll talk this and that. But then God gives us the opportunity to play a major part in something that's eternal. And our answer usually is, no thanks, God. I'm going to sit this one out. There's a good football game on today. I think I'll take a pass on that opportunity, Lord, to serve you. I've got this other situation that has arisen. Lord, I don't think I can make it out to your house today. I don't think I can be in my place to serve you today because I've got this other temporal thing that's going on. And boy, how sad that we skip the eternal things of God for something that's going to fade away just minutes later. Why must we pass it on? Because God has promised to perpetuate His Word. Gives us the opportunity to be involved in something. Listen, and He will. And God will allow someone else to do my job. God will allow someone else to serve in the capacity that He wants me to serve in. And that person will get the blessings. That person will get the joy of knowing God has used them. I don't know about you, but I want to pass it on because I want to be involved in something that's going to last beyond this life. As Paul is standing here before Timothy, or he's writing this letter, this Timothy, he's telling Timothy, listen, you've had much invested in you. Now it's your turn to turn around and invest it in someone else. Pass it on. And I say to you tonight as Christians, listen, God has invested so much in us. Christ has invested so much in us. God has allowed servants to come into our lives and mentor us and invest time in our lives. And listen, now it's our turn. And God's going to allow His church to go forward, whether I'm a part of it or not. But He allows me to be a part of it. It's my chance to get involved. I want to leave you with one final Bible truth, and we're finished tonight. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Jesus here is giving a parable. He's giving a parable of the Lord that left His servants and said, I'm coming back for you. Those servants knew exactly what they were supposed to be doing while the Lord was away. Supposed to be taking care of the property, doing what their Lord had commanded them to do. It says, when the Lord comes back, He blesses those that were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And then He ends with this truth in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. He says, but the middle of the verse there, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And in terms of what has been invested in your heart and your life, in terms of what God has done for you, may we understand we have been given much. Therefore, much is required of us. Let's be like Timothy. Let's pass it on. Let's be like Paul, who received Jesus Christ and then labored and gave his life's work to passing it on. Let's just determine, listen, so much has been invested in me. It's now my responsibility to get involved in the things of God. And let's be faithful to pass on the same Christ that was given to us.